Hi, welcome to Cupcakes and Conversations. I'm your host, Sharanda M. Brown. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Cupcakes and Conversations. This is your girl, Sharanda M. Brown, and we are on episode 3. Now, if you listen to episode 2, then you'll recall that I said I would share my story this week about how I have dealt with depression and anxiety and some things that I found that are helpful for me. So before I get into the meat of my discussion, I just want to kind of rewind a little bit and go back to give you a little backstory. So I'll start off with my childhood. I'll go way, way back. Now, as a young girl, I can recall times when I found myself comparing myself to other people. Now, we've all done it. I mean, everybody's done that before. And it didn't really seem like a big issue, of course. I would look at other girls or other students and I'm like, oh, she's prettier than me. Her hair is better than mine. Their clothes are nicer than my clothes. Their family is better off than mine financially. Now, how would I know that? How would I know that? I'm on the outside looking in, and that's what I'm comparing myself to. Reality is, I found out later in life that some of those same kids that I was looking at, wishing I, you know, my family was like theirs, they were struggling too. That is the reality of it all. Now, there were other things that happened in my childhood that really helped to form my adult years, part of my adult years. So I have always had like this, you know, little cute shape. And it's not something that I brag about or even try to just flaunt. I'm not a flaunter at all. I'm very modest when it comes to my body. I try to hide my figure as much as possible. But, you know, as kids, especially like elementary school, those young boys, they're, you know, it's like the quote unquote boys will be boys thing. And, you know, they run, they chase after the girls and all. And they would chase after me and make comments about my body that I just hated it. I would run. I'm like, stop. You know, I hate you. I don't like you. But, you know, they still did it anyway. And it didn't make them bad. They weren't bad kids. It was, that's just what they were doing, but I didn't want it. But, you know, later in life, in like junior high, high school, it had gotten to the point to where older men were making comments about my body. And that really shook me. I felt so disgusted with myself. And I had actually prayed one day. I remember the day I prayed to God and asked him to change me into a boy, because I just hated it. I hated it because the boys were making comments about my body, the older men making comments, and then I was suffering with female issues. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. So I just hated being a girl. I was like, Lord, please, please change me into a boy. Just wave your hand or something. Just do it. Do it now, Lord. But so those were some things that helped form my early adult opinions. Then there were also the instances where I witnessed abuse in my family, like my family as a whole. There was abuse going on and it scared me and it really traumatized me, I realized later, because in witnessing that, I had begun to build, like put this wall up emotionally. And I was like, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm not going to allow it. I don't want to be hit on. I don't want to be called names and this and that. I just did not want it. So I put up this wall and it was like impenetrable, it seemed. But then there was also the time where it was a period of time where there was an older boy that was, I guess I was around like 11, between 11 and 13. There was an older boy who would make unwanted advances. He would touch me in places I did not want to be touched. And no matter how much I tried to get away from this boy, to not be around him, he always found his way around me, always made it a point to be around me. And so there was nothing I felt I could do to stop it. I never did tell my parents or any adult. I didn't tell anybody, not even my sister, who has been my absolute best friend ever since she was born, really. I didn't tell anybody because I was afraid of it causing problems, and I didn't want to be a problem causer. I don't like drama. I'm not a confrontational person, and that to me was confrontation. It was embarrassing. I was scared. I was just a young girl, and I didn't know how to handle that. And so all of this just once again just caused me to put up more bricks on my wall that I had already created. I realized later in life that it actually had caused problems with me as far as relationships go. And that goes like as far as friendships or, you know, romantic relationships or whatnot. Or even jobs, like even employment. I realize that now. But I had put up this wall so bad that I was not willing to let anybody know the real me. I had gotten married in my early 20s, and even then I realized later, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I realized later that I did not fully allow my ex-husband to love me completely. Funny story here. Before my ex-husband and I ever dated or anything, we were great friends. We were like the best of friends. And one day I was in the military. We were overseas and I lived in the barracks, and he worked. The place where he worked was right next to my barracks room. And so whenever he would get off of work, you know, he would come by or whatever, say hey, and go on his way. But one day he came by and he's like, hey, I'm getting ready to go to McDonald's. You want anything? And I was like, no, I don't have any money. And he was like, well, I'll buy it. Don't worry about it. I was like, no, I don't like guys doing stuff for me like that. And he was like, well, you can just pay me back. And I said, no, that's the same thing, because you're still buying it. He was so irritated with me. And he told me later, he's like, I was so mad at you. I walked off like, oh, she's just so stupid sometimes. But in my mind, and I did tell him this later, in my mind, I was like, I don't want anything. I don't want anyone holding anything over my head that they can use against me. To me, in my mind, I was like, okay, if he buys me this meal, then he might be expecting me to do something for him later. And that was not even the case. He was not that type of person. But because of those things that had happened in my past, that was my mindset. And so I was an emotional wreck and did not realize it. And all of those things had really formed who I was at that time. Now, in my 20s, my early 20s, man, I was living my best life. I was married. I was a young mother. I was overseas living in a place that I had always wanted to go, Naples, Italy, to Italy. And it was just wonderful. I had great friends. I was attending a wonderful church. Everybody was like family. I was really living my best life. And then all of a sudden, something happened. And it was something someone did to me, someone very close. And it just completely wrecked me. It was as if someone had called my name, like I'm walking and somebody called my name. And as soon as I turned around, they just punched me in my gut. And we all know gut punches hurt the worst. I did not think I would recover from this. And it just caused me to just take this downward spiral in my life. I had begun to creep into this dark place, and I didn't even realize how bad it was getting for me. Now, mind you, I was still putting on this face. I was still happy somewhat, but then this thing that happened, it just rocked my world, and I could not get past it. I would not allow myself to get past it. It hurt so bad, and it was to the point to where it had caused me to have physical problems with my body. Now I ended up, my ex-husband, he ended up leaving from overseas before I did, to come back to the States. And before I had my son, let me say this too, before I had my son, I was like 180 something pounds, and after I had my son, I guess my metabolism kicked in really hard. And for some crazy reason, I wanted to run. I literally wanted to run everywhere. So that's what I started doing. I started running. I started working out. I was doing the required PT that I was doing with my group Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the mornings. And then on top of that, I was working out on my lunch break Monday through Friday. And then after that, working out in the evenings, Monday through Friday, while I was waiting on my ex-husband to get off from work. And so I was working out like a fiend, y'all. Don't you know that I had gotten down to like 130, 135 pounds? Woo-wee! I was feeling so fine. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've never been this small in my life. I was feeling real good. I was actually feeling good. Now this was before the gut punch. So my life was really great. I had lost all the weight from the baby weight and then some. So it was just such a great time. But then after the gut punch, and then, maybe like 2 years later or so, I had ended up gaining some of the weight back. So I went from like 130, 135 to like 150, 155. Now, mind you, I was still looking fly. But in my mind, I had gained weight and I was fat. I was like, oh my gosh, I've gained this weight. I got to get this weight off. And I maintained 150, 155 for a while. It was like for some years. That was like my health. It was a healthy weight, but I really wanted to get that weight back up. I wanted to be back at 130, 135. So I was trying different weight loss methods and whatnot, but I never did lose that weight. Never did get back past 150. But once again, we know hindsight is 2020. If I could go back in time, I would go back to my young 150 pound self and say, girl, if you don't stop this madness, you are fine. You better stop it. When you get older, you will realize that this 150, 155 is banging And when I look back at pictures of myself, I'm like, oh my God, I look so good. What was wrong with me? You know what was wrong with me? I was wrong with me because I was too busy comparing myself to other people that I didn't realize how good things were for me. And so here we go, fast forwarding back to like my still kind of like my early 20s, mid 20s or whatnot. Things kept going down for me emotionally. And it was just like every little thing that happened after that just really compounded. It just built up. So I had gotten to a point to where I was just so unhappy with me. I started to really hate myself. I never did really look at myself in the mirror when I got dressed. You know, I would look at myself enough to see that I look decent, you know, everything's good. I'm going out in public and I look okay. But I intentionally never looked directly in my own eyes. Because what would happen is I would cry. I'm not just talking about, okay, the water building up and then the tears start to flow. I mean, I would bawl. I would bawl like I just lost my best friend or something. I would cry so hard. And I'm talking about because I looked at myself. How crazy does that sound? I couldn't stand to look in my own eyes. Because what I saw there, I didn't like. What I saw there, I hated. I despised. I didn't like the person that I had become. I felt like I had a terrible, wicked, dark heart. I felt ugly on the outside. I felt like I was insufficient as a wife, insufficient as a mother, insufficient as an employee, as a Christian. I just felt insufficient all the way around. I felt like I didn't have any real skills, like I was just barely making it in life. It was not true, but that was my reality. Now, don't get me wrong. There were some really good moments in my life. And like my ex-husband, he was so funny. And that was one of the things that attracted me to him. He was just such a hilarious person. And then my son, he was like my sunshine. He was the very thing that kept me holding on. I was having some issues in my body. I had fibroids at the time and it was causing me so much pain. I didn't know that it was the fibroids that was causing the pain at first. I went to the doctor and the doctor told me it was fibroids and they weren't very big. So they didn't really treat it surgically or anything. They gave me some medicine. They told me to take some ibuprofen that helped. So I was taking ibuprofen every month because it was just so extreme. And of course the pain, it really messed with my marital state, if you know what I mean. And so that was something else that was added on top of the other stuff that I had dealt with and the one major gut punch that I had gotten in my life. And I just felt like I just could not take it anymore. I'm just so done with life. That's how I felt. I just wanted it to be over. As I said, my son was the only thing that kept me holding on. Now, mind you, I love my family. I have a super great family. But my family is not what kept me holding on. It's because of my little gift from God, my son. He was the reason that I said, I can't do it. I can't let go. And you recall I said I was a Christian too, but even then, even with that, it was like I was at such a low point. I just didn't even know how to reach out to God anymore. I didn't know how. I was struggling so bad with my emotional state. And so there came a time when I ended up, I think my ex-husband had left. He had a 1 year tour duty overseas. He had left to go away. And so it was just my son and me there. And before that, I had gone to the doctor. Before he left, I had gone to the doctor because I had started to have these physical issues in my body caused by stress. I was having panic attacks, but I didn't realize what it was at the time. And I went to the doctor, and they looked me over and everything. By the time I got to the doctor, nothing was going on physically that they could see. But what was happening is I would start to have these, like my body would start shaking. It wasn't like an epileptic seizure or anything, but I started, it would like my hands would tremble, my head would tremble a little bit, and I could feel it coming on, and then it would just progress and get worse. And y'all, this would go on sometimes for like an hour or so. My muscles in my body were just contracting all over, like literally from my head down to my feet. I knew when it was starting, but I could not stop it. And so I went to the doctor about it. By the time I got to the doctor, it had stopped. And so they never did really witness what was going on. And so they didn't know how to treat me. They were asking me, hey, are you having marital issues? Are you having financial issues? Things going bad at the job? And I was like, no, you know, everything is pretty okay. But what was going on was just me dealing with me and me dealing with the thing that had happened. And I really wish that I could share with you what happened, but I can't, because I'm not trying to shine a bad light on anybody. I'm not trying to shine a bad light on anybody. So that part I have to withhold. But it was, for me, it was devastating. And so I had the doctors were asking me, you know, about my issues and everything. I told them, you know, life is pretty good. I just don't know what's going on. So they prescribed me muscle relaxers, which I really couldn't take because they would knock me out. And being a young mother, being a mother of a young child, I couldn't just take the muscle relaxers and just be out of it. I was afraid to tell them that I was depressed. And that was my reality. I was depressed. I was afraid because I didn't want that to be in my medical record. I was embarrassed about it. I thought that it would have negative implications on my life. I didn't want to take the medication because I had heard that it puts you in a zombie-like state. I just didn't want all that. I wish that I had said something, because I could have gotten the help that I needed. I could have at least gotten counseling. But I didn't. And so, you know, moving forward in life, still in my 20s, I remember this one particular day that I finally felt the sun shining on me. We, at the church I was attending at the time, we had a weekly women's ministry meeting. And so I went to that meeting, and to this day, I really cannot tell you what she was talking about. I can't tell you anything about it other than this one verse that she shared. And that verse was this: Psalm 139, verse 14. When she read it, it was as if my spirit just quickened, and I was alert, and I was like really intentionally listening. And she read it out and she said, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, for this my soul knows very well." And it was as if I felt God saying, write it down. So I wrote it down. And then later that night, as I was getting ready for bed, I felt the Lord telling me, say that scripture out loud in the mirror. I want you to look directly in your own eyes. Say that scripture, hug yourself, and say, I love me. Now, y'all, I did not want to do that. Because the fact of the matter was that I didn't love me. I hated me. I absolutely hated myself. And remember, I said, when I looked at myself in my own eyes, I would cry. I didn't want to feel that. But I wanted to be obedient. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, even though it's going to hurt. So that night, before I got into bed, I went to the restroom and I looked in that mirror. And I cried. And I said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God. For this my soul knows very well. I love me. I love me. I love me. Y'all, that was the hardest thing that I had ever had to do. I cried so hard. It didn't feel good. But then the next morning when I woke up, guess what? The Lord reminded me that I needed to go and say that scripture and do what he asked me to do. So I got up. I went to the restroom. I looked in the mirror at my own self in my own eyes. And I said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, for this my soul knows very well. I love me. I love me. I love me. And it hurts so bad because I did not love myself. I didn't want to do this, but I knew that I had to keep going. And so that night, before I got into bed, I went back to the mirror and I faced myself and I said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, for this my soul knows very well. I love me. I love me. I love me. And it was so hard still. But I kept going. I kept going back. Night after night. Morning after morning. And guess what? One day, I went to that mirror. And when I went to look at myself, to face myself, there was something different there. There was a change that had happened that I didn't realize. I looked at myself and I said with confidence in my heart, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, for this my soul knows very well. I love me. I love me. I love me. Oh my God. I had finally gotten the victory over depression and anxiety. I finally felt the love for myself. I no longer felt that darkness that I had been feeling. For the first time in a long time, I felt light and warmth. I share my story with you because I know for a fact that there are so many people out there who are struggling with depression and anxiety. And you might feel afraid, you might feel ashamed, you might feel embarrassed. But you let me tell you right here, right now, you are not alone and you are going to get through this. It may seem incredibly hard right now. It may seem like you'll never make it out on the other side. And listen, I'm not here to tell you that there's some magic potion or that this happens for everybody or that it's some instant victory. It's not. I'm here to tell you that I am still in this battle, but I am an overcomer. I conquered the major part of it. I conquered it. I came out on the other side. And there are times when I still feel the hits. I still feel the darts coming after me. I still feel that heaviness trying to creep into my life. And I said, no, I'm not going to go back to that. I refuse to go back to that dark place. That was a place of fear, hurt, and pain. And I'm no longer giving them a place in my life. I finally have a better understanding of people when they've been sober or drug-free for many years, but still say, I'm a recovering alcoholic or I'm a recovering drug addict. I realized that they're saying the tendency is still there. The environment is still there. The urges may even still be there. But I'm no longer a slave to them. That's how I feel about depression and anxiety. I am no longer a slave to them. I've decided I'm not going to fight it alone. I've decided I'm not going to be silent about it. You know, ever since I got my breakthrough, I make sure that I encourage, compliment, and inspire others daily. And I mean it, daily. You never know what your words might do to impact somebody else's life. Now, I'm curious, have you found ways to help you deal with depression and anxiety? I'd love to share them with others because it helps to know that we're not alone and that other people are actually managing depression and anxiety in a healthy way. If you would like to share your story with me, then you can email me at cupcakesandcombos@gmail.com. That's cupcakesandcombos@gmail.com. Or you can leave a voice message right here on the podcast. I want to leave with you something that helped me. And you've heard it already in this podcast, but I like to leave an inspirational quote or scripture at the very end. And it is this, Psalm 139, verse 14. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, for this my soul knows very well. If this podcast has encouraged you in any way, then I hope that you will share it with someone else. All you have to do is just push that button and send. All right? I appreciate you all listening. I can't wait to chat with you next week. I love you all, and I'm praying for you. Know that. And I hope you have a wonderful, encouraged, and blessed week. Bye-bye.